We're remembering writer Bud Schulberg, who died on Wednesday at the age of 95. Schulberg won an Oscar for his On the Waterfront screenplay. He also wrote the screenplays for The Harder They Fall and A Face in the Crowd. He first became known for his 1941 novel, What Makes Sammy Run, about a movie producer who ruthlessly pushes his way to the top. Terry spoke with Bud Schulberg in 1990.
Now, you teamed up with Ilya Kazan to do On the Waterfront after you had both testified to the House Un-American Activities Committee. He said in his memoirs that he felt that there was a bond of understanding between the two of you because you'd both been through that. Did you feel that way?
Well, I felt our bond of understanding began when nobody in Hollywood would do On the Waterfront, when every major studio turned down On the Waterfront, which I think they should remember, and that Kazan's, when I was irritated about it, Kazan said to me, "Bud, I want to make this movie. If I have to take a handheld camera and go down on the docks myself, I'm going to make this movie." I think that's where the bond began. As for the testimony, although it is true that we were both what they call friendly witnesses before that committee, I really I reject the theory that the ending of that picture or the fact that Terry Molloy testifies was related that closely. I spent about a year and a half on the waterfront. I really love the Rebel Longshoreman. I saw Father John Corydon go through hell, even with his superiors, and he was...
This is the priest that the Carl Malden character
was. That's right. Father Barry was really... Father Barry in the movie was patterned directly on this waterfront priest. And I saw Father John or Father Barry in the movie urging these men to get up and testify at the waterfront crime hearings. And I attended them every day. They went for about 5 or 6 weeks. And I spoke to Kazan about it, looking for the ending of our film. And I said, "Gadge, I think we have found the ending for our film, because these men are saying, 'My God, if I get up and do that, you know what's going to happen. I'll be in the North River.' That's what they call the Hudson River. I'll be gone." And that was the real source of the ending of that picture. It really was not the fact that we were saying, "How can we get back at these people?" I've had some disagreement with Kazan about that. He could say, and I'll make this very brief, that maybe that intensified his ability to direct that scene, or that it gave him some additional emotion, but I never thought of it in writing it, and I was the writer of it.
Have you ever had regrets or second thoughts about testifying?
Not really, no. No, I haven't, because I don't see what the only alternative for me was to seem to be on the side of the communists. And if you ever saw V.J. Jerome, a commissar for cultural affairs, who tells you that you can't write the book unless it's checked over by this or that or the other, I felt the American people had a right to know that.
In spite of the evils perpetrated in the name of communism at the time that you were testifying, did you ever feel that you were participating in what was practically a witch hunt in America that was having a devastating effect on the lives of the people being pursued?
I thought two things. I thought it should have been done more carefully, but I thought that the people who were fighting here and calling it a witch hunt should have realized that if they are against a blacklist, that they should also involve themselves in the fight against the death list, and that while writers may be better than any of us were being killed in the Soviet Union, they seem to have absolutely no interest in that.
I want to ask you, I know that you have, you've had a stutter on and off through your life, and I wonder how that's affected how you've dealt with Hollywood, and I mean that in the sense that I know so much about Hollywood is about, like, pitching the script and making the deal, and there's all this fast talk, I assume, that goes on, and how comfortable you felt with that.
I've never been crazy about the story conferences. I remember Bill Faulkner, William Faulkner worked out in Hollywood a good deal more than people realize. And one time they had one of these meetings that you're describing, and they're saying, now, the boy and girl have to meet cute and fast, and how can we show right away, instantly, that they are closely related? And a lot of the fast talkers were ad-libbing meet cute ideas. And Faulkner, who was rather withdrawn, extremely withdrawn, wrote a note, and he handed it to a friend of mine, and my friend told me about it right after the meeting. And the note said, what if they were brother and sister? So, to answer your question, I guess there are some people who can get up there and pitch, and there are others who can get up to bat without saying much and hit a home run.
Bud Schulberg recorded in 1990. He died on Wednesday at the age of 95. Coming up after this break, a conversation with Eva Marie Saint. This is Fresh Air. Eva Marie Saint won an Academy Award for her role as Edie in On the Waterfront, starring opposite Marlon Brando. She also starred in Alfred Hitchcock's comic thriller North by Northwest. On TV, Saint played Sybil Shepherd's mother in the series Moonlighting. Terry spoke with Saint in 2000 and asked her about auditioning for the part as the young virginal blonde in On the Waterfront.
I improvised with Marlon Brando. And it was an interesting improvisation because to this day, I don't know what he told Marlon. But he did tell me that I was at home and a young man was coming to visit my sister who was not at home. So my job was to keep him out of that house. Don't let him in the door. Well, I don't know what happened, but he went in the door. He came in the living room. We were dancing. We were laughing. I was crying. He was taking my skirt and whoosh, whipping it around. And the sparks flew. And Kazan saw that. And suddenly I was on the waterfront.
Were you used to improvising?
Oh, yes. I was from the Actor's Studio. I'd been studying there. I was there about 7 years. And all total, and I had seen Marlon there, but I'd never worked with him. I actually worked with Lee Strasberg, and of course Kazan was there too.
Had you seen Brando in anything before starring with him?
Yes, I'd seen his movies, and I'm never in awe of another actor because it's all the same business. Some actors are fine actors, some not quite fine actors, good actors. I'm never in awe of anyone in our profession. I'm in awe of musicians or painters. But I was impressed, and he was adorable, and he was a prince, and he knew it was my first film. It was very cold in Hoboken.
That's where you shot it?
On the waterfront. In Hoboken, on the waterfront, right there. And it was very cold, and he was always giving me a jacket to put over my shoulders, and I was skiing at the time, so underneath my virginal navy blue dress, I had red long johns on. So when the morale was low, I threw up my dress and started doing the can-can for all the longshoremen.
That'd be very out of character for your character in the movie.
True. I'm glad. I don't think Kazan saw me because he liked everyone to stay in character.
Well, that's funny.
But that got a few laughs. But he was very, very kind, Marlon. We rehearsed constantly, which is what you do on a Kazan film.
Right. Now, in the movie, you have this, like, radiant, pure beauty, but in most of the scenes, you're wearing real schmatas. You're wearing this big drab woolen coat and a kerchief around your head. And
I still have that kerchief.
Do you really?
I always say one. I should put it on eBay, right? No, sorry. I usually have one thing from each film, and I have it in a little cellophane bag with a photo of me and Marlon, and there I have the kerchief. I'm holding the kerchief.
You know, often in movies, you know, the beautiful young leading lady is quite glamorous, and you're so unglamorously dressed in this. Did it affect how you felt in the role to be wearing this, like, drab coat and the shmata on your head?
No, when I was making rounds in New York and the things that I played on live television were not very glamorous. I think you're thinking of North by Northwest. I wasn't really glamorous until mm-hmm. Hitch saw me as a sexy spy lady. And I remember saying to my husband, my God, he sees me as a sexy spy lady. And my husband said, well, so do I. So that made two of them. But I didn't know. The only thing is it was navy blue, and for some reason I never, ever wear navy blue. I think I was tired of that dress by the time it was over. Everything was navy. The dress was navy. The coat was navy. And in those days, we did wear those kerchiefs over our head on windy days and cold windy days in New York.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, we wore them. They were very practical, actually. So I didn't feel that I wasn't smartly dressed at all. That navy blue with a little collar, it was a pretty cute dress. I did feel embarrassed in the slip, I must say.
We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in this scene from On the Waterfront, you've decided not to see the Brando character anymore. But he's knocking on your door, and you're telling him to stay away. Then you lock the door and chain the door. He breaks into your apartment and finds you in bed wearing this white slip. Let's hear that scene.
Stay away from me. Come on, please open the door, please.
Stop it.
I want you to stay away from me.
I know what you want me to do, but I ain't gonna do it, so forget it.
I don't want you to do anything. You let your conscience tell you what to do.
Shut up about that conscience. That's all I've been hearing.
I never mentioned the word before. You just stay away from
Edie,
me.
Edie, you love me. I want you
didn't
to
say... say I didn't love you. I said stay away from me.
I want you to say it to me.
Stay away from me.
And that silence and then the little squeaking is them kissing passionately after she's attempted in vain to fight him off and then gives in. It's really quite a moment in the film. I mean, you look like you're almost about to faint with being totally overcome by this physical feeling that's very new to you, being in his arms. Let's talk about that scene. How is that kiss staged?
How was the kiss staged? Well, we were struggling. We were struggling, and I was hitting his back, and I'm sure it was Kazan who said, just drop that arm at that point.
To show that you were giving in, that you were succumbing to your feelings.
It. You know, when you just hear it, it's almost like two animals, isn't it? He was very, Marlon, very, very strong in that. And she dropped her conscience, didn't she? He overcame her, and yet she had these strong feelings, and he broke through for both of them. She really did love him. I had trouble actually with that scene because I was in a slip, and in those days I was very modest, and I felt exposed. I'd never been in a slip on screen and on television. And the kiss and all of that, it was pretty physical. I remember just having trouble, and Kazan came up to me and he just whispered the name of my husband. He just said, Jeffrey. And you know, it worked. I mean, that was it. I mean, another director might have struggled with whatever, but he just, one word, and no one heard it. Marlon didn't hear it. No one heard it. And that's how he worked. And somehow I just knew that he knew I would relax if because he had met my husband, if I thought of Jeffrey. And somehow when he whispered that, I just relaxed and enjoyed it.
Eva Marie Saint speaking with Terry Gross. We'll hear more of their conversation after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with actress Eva Marie Saint. She won an Academy Award starring opposite Marlon Brando in the 1954 film On the Waterfront.
There's a scene in this where he's been called downstairs by some of the guys who are out to kill him. And you've chased after him calling his name. And you find him in this narrow alley. And just as you find him and you're running down this alley to meet up with him, a big truck that's as wide as the alley is coming after him and therefore coming after you too. And there's no way you can be in the street without getting hit by this truck. So he breaks into a building and you both rush in, narrowly averting this truck. It's such a beautifully lit scene. You're kind of like in the headlights of the truck, illuminated by it, running for your lives. Were you aware of the lighting when that shot was being made?
You're never aware of the lighting, but it's interesting because when I did see it, it's almost like the hair has a halo.
Yeah.
As I remember. It was a very scary scene because it was wet. I had no idea that truck was going to be as close as it was in the scene. There was a place where we had to get out of the way, and Marlon was supposed to open the door. The door wouldn't open. He actually broke that glass. And he actually cut his hand a little bit. The designated door was not unlocked or was jammed or something. So Marlon Brando is that kind of actor. He broke the glass and we got inside just in time.
I guess you didn't have to do that scene again.
No. No.
You won an Oscar for your role in On the Waterfront, and I think 4 days after winning the Oscar, you gave birth to a son.
2 days.
2 days.
Better story, right? 2 days. Yeah.
So those are two big changes in your life happening just about simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
I think, for most people, when they get the Academy Award, they want to be at their most glamorous, and you are at your absolute most pregnant. I'm not sure if you were even able to go to the award ceremony.
Oh, yes. I was sitting there with Jeffrey, and... It was in New York. Now it's all in California, but at that time, the New York contingency and the Hollywood contingency, and there was a little jealousy between Hollywood and New York, so we really didn't think there was much of a chance for Waterfront, Black and White, made in New York. But we went, and we were all there, and some of the people started winning Oscars. And my dear husband said, "Now, honey, if they call your name, I want you to sit here and count to 10 and then go up." Well, I heard my name and I felt this hand on my thigh, pressing my thigh, and I'm smiling and smiling and I'm really counting to 10. And then I walked up. I didn't rush up. I walked up and accepted the Oscar and said something like, "I'm so excited. I may have the baby right here." And of course, I had it 2 days later.
Eva Marie Saint speaking with Terry Gross in 2000 about her role in On the Waterfront. Bud Schulberg, who won an Academy Award for his screenplay for the film, died this week at the age of 95. Let's hear one more scene from the film. When Marlon Brando as Terry and Eva Marie Saint as Edie discover Terry's brother dead in an alley, Charlie's been murdered by the mobsters who controlled the union on the docks.
They got Charlie.
Terry, I'm frightened. Let's get out of here. First Joey and then Dugan, and now Charlie and next. Please, Terry, someplace where we can live in peace.
I'm gonna take it out of their skulls. Charlie? I'm gonna take it out of their skulls.
Please, Terry, they'll kill you too.
Go get the father. Tell him to take care of Charlie. And then come on back here and stay with him till he gets here.
Terry, please don't do anything. Please! Terry!
And for God's sake, don't leave him alone here long.
Please, Terry.
Do what I tell you.
Terry!
Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Fred Snyder, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.